beliefs. But since so many of you missed the other thing, let me just tell you a tiny little bit about where I came from, because it cost you $20 million for me to get smart. I started out as the son of an oil man. I did 10 years in Latin America, 10 years in Asia, 4 years in Vietnam as a kid, going through 10 coups d'etats, including the one where Diem was murdered, with CIA complicity, trading cigarettes for bullets after each coup, and then starting golf courses on fire by accident as I burned the gunpowder. My 14-year-old is going through this now. Came back, went to graduate school, got a master's in predicting revolution, decided I'd become too intellectual, so I joined the United States Marine Corps. That had the desired rounding effect. I learned the F word. And I just love it. I mean, any of you that are considering joining the U.S. military or the U.S. intelligence community or your local police counterintelligence, do it. You get one chance in your life to join these clubs. And even if you quit after 2 or 3 years, it will change you forever. These are all good people, good, well-meaning people, badly managed. Okay? And we can talk about that in the interactive period after the toucan briefs. But I then found garrison duty very boring. I missed the Vietnam War as a uniformed officer. I was in infantry. So I joined the CIA. And I was very glad to be part of the CIA and a clandestine case officer. Came out from undercover after Toffler wrote a chapter about me called The Future of the Spy. Did 6 tours, 3 overseas clandestine tours, 3 tours in Washington doing imagery, signals, advanced information technology, smart maps that remember operational histories of a city. So if you're going to go do a dead drop, it reminds you the police chief lives there, things like that. And that was fun. And then the Marine Corps invited me to come stand up the Marine Corps Intelligence Center. Now, up to this point, I think hackers, Jesuits, and spies share one common characteristic, which is they're absolutely certain they are gods that walk 3 feet off the planet and can do no wrong. So it was a real shock for me, having been a spy who was a god, to actually have to stand up a new national intelligence production facility and produce intelligence. And after spending $20 million, including $10 million for a capability to touch anything that NSA, CIA, FBI, all of these guys produced, I was absolutely stunned to find out that 80 to 90% of what I needed to do policy intelligence, acquisition or procurement intelligence, which is what do we build and buy with your taxpayer dollar, and operational intelligence, 80 to 90% of it was not secret, not in English, not online, and not known to anybody in Washington. This just blew my mind. So I got permission from my general. I spent 4 years trying to teach the U.S. intelligence community from inside the government. Finally gave up. Got permission from my general to run an international conference. We were expecting 150 insiders to show up. 629 people showed up, including 15 Swedes, which tells you something about the Swedish early warning network. They're good. Watch your wallet. They're very good. I respect them a lot. So the lawyer said, okay, you had permission for the first one, but now you're famous, so you can't do it again. Hello? I succeeded, so I can't do it again? This is the logic of bureaucracy and the law. So I resigned. I've given up 3 retirements. I bet my house, signed a contract with the hotel, and I've been doing these conferences every year. Called Global Information Forum, and they're basically about open source intelligence, intelligence reform, and stuff like that. And unbeknownst to me until this year, the term collective intelligence is acquiring importance everywhere else. And so if you're going to Google for collective intelligence and then Google for open source intelligence and OSINT, and you'll get to the cream, such as it is on Google.